from KQED.
This is the California Report. Good morning to you. I'm John Sepulveda. We begin with separated families. Yesterday, San Diego federal judge Dana Sabra told the U.S. government they will not get a time extension to reunify children under 5 years old who have been separated from their parents. This is a big ruling because it means the government must continue working as quickly as possible to reunite these families who were separated at the border, something the government has been both resistant and unable to do. The ACLU brought the suit to reunify the families, and after the court hearing yesterday, lead attorney Lee Gelernt was very pleased. Here, take a listen.
We were extremely pleased with the court's rulings today. The court made clear that the government should not use a cumbersome, lengthy reunification process, that they should streamline the process so that they can meet the deadlines. That was one major dispute between the parties today. The other dispute between the parties was what kind of notice is going to be given to the detained parents so that they can read what their rights are. The judge accepted the notice form that we submitted and rejected the government's changes to the notice form. So now we're hopeful that that form will immediately get to the detention center so parents will understand their rights under this ruling.
But of course, there was the news reports today that 13 parents might be being deported who have their children here. We heard that the government, because there was no evidence able to be presented in court, that the judge essentially said that they could not issue, he could not issue an injunction. What happens to those parents if this turns out to be correct?
So the government, unless the government chooses not to remove those 13 families, it looks like they will be removed. That's unfortunate if they were class members and didn't understand their rights. The big question for us is whether parents are agreeing to removal, thinking that's the only way to get their child back. This ruling made 100% clear that a child should be returned to their parents, and the parent may still contest removal and seek asylum. Getting your child back is not contingent upon waiving your right to contest removal.
We heard, we have somebody we've been following in Guatemala who said that they were essentially handed a sheet of some papers, were told, sign these, you and your child will be released, and then that gentleman ended up being deported.
Right. So I can't comment on that particular case, but we have heard many reports of parents believing their child would be removed with them only to find themselves on the plane without their child.
Finally, I can hear a lot of people just kind of wondering what teeth are behind the
right.
judge.
Right.
Can the judge hold them in contempt if they're not? I mean, what's the
right.
punishment?
So the court has a wide range of powers at its disposal if it believes the government is not acting in bad faith and meeting the compliance deadlines.
That was the ACLU's Lee Gelernt. Now, since the Trump administration began separating immigrant families, children are increasingly having to appear before immigration judges alone, without their parents, sometimes children as young as 4 years old. KPBS's Jean Guerrero says the Department of Justice is even separating the cases of families in court who were never actually physically separated while being detained.
Noah Lopez came to the U.S. from Guatemala with his 5-year-old daughter, Thailin, fleeing death threats. After crossing the border through Tecate, Lopez says officials tried to separate him from Thailin, but that he clung to her.
I told them I'm not letting go of her.
The two were released together on parole. But the Department of Justice divided their court cases. Thailin had to appear in San Diego Immigration Court in May, alone. Her dad says when they put the headphones on her so she could hear the translator relate what the judge was saying, she broke down in tears. The judge granted special permission for the dad to be brought in to calm her down.
She was crying and crying and crying, and I said, calm down. They're not going to hurt you. And she said, they're going to put me in jail. And I said, don't worry. Nothing is going to happen to you.
His attorney, Matt Holt, says he's trying to consolidate their cases, but that in the meantime, it's creating a lot of unnecessary work, stress, and inefficiencies. Attorneys say the government is increasingly separating cases like this. The Department of Justice did not respond to a request for comment to explain why. For the California Report, I'm Jean Guerrero in San Diego.
We're going to move on now to judicial politics. Both of California's Democratic senators, Dianne Feinstein and Kamala Harris, say they are going to have a tough time confirming Supreme Court nominee Brett Kavanaugh. Both are members of the Senate Judiciary Committee. And referring to reproductive rights, Harris had this to say.
If you are a young woman in America, or you care about a young woman in America, pay attention to this. because it will forever change your life.
Meanwhile, Senator Feinstein, who was a bit more understated, but for Senator Feinstein, this was quite a statement, tweeted that Kavanaugh's record indicated he would be, quote, among the most conservative justices in Supreme Court history. Also in politics, San Francisco gets a new mayor today. KQED's politics editor Scott Schaefer reports on the first black woman elected to the city's top job.
London Breed was president of the Board of Supervisors when Mayor Ed Lee died suddenly in December, thrusting her into the spotlight for a few weeks as acting mayor. Breed is 43 years old, a native San Franciscan who was raised in public housing by her grandmother. She won by a tiny margin, but voters like Peter Light are willing to give her a chance.
I actually did not support her, and I'm now fully supportive of her being the mayor, and you know, and I'm glad that people chose, and here we are.
Resident Douglas Dufresne supported Breed and hopes she'll tackle homelessness.
There was somebody that was living in our hedge for probably a month. It was really horrible.
Residents say homelessness and the housing affordability crisis should be the new mayor's top priorities. Joe D'Alessandro, who heads the SF Travel Association, wants everyone to hold the new mayor and city government accountable.
To keep the pressure on those elected leaders and also those in the private sector to make sure that it's not just promises, but that actual action happens and that gets things taken care of.
Breed says she's well aware voters expect to see results on the streets.
The problem that we have are people who struggle with mental illness. And I think that's really why that's going to be my focus.
In fact, Breed has already been to Sacramento to lobby on behalf of legislation that would make it easier for cities to get homeless people with severe mental illness off the streets and into long-term treatment. For the California Report, I'm Scott Schaefer.
Support for the California Report comes from Eric and Wendy Schmidt, whose Fund for Strategic Innovation supports transformative ideas that benefit humanity while protecting the natural world, recognizing through science the interdependence of all living systems. And Block Construction, a builder committed to enhancing communities in the Bay Area and Central Coast. BLACH.com. Block Construction. Together, building greatness.
And that's the California Report for Wednesday, July 11th. Hey, 7-Eleven. I'm John Sepulvedo. Have a great day.